Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Happy Saturday. It's Kevin Freeman, and we are Pirate Money Radio. You know, we've got an exciting program today. Actually, it's a really depressing program in some cases, but we've got good answers for a big economic problem we're facing, and that problem is debt. Whether it's your personal debt or it's the American economy's debt, it's not a good thing. Biblically, it's not a good thing. Personal debt, corporate debt, government debt, all of them are at record levels and growing rapidly. So what's this going to mean to you? What does it mean to you this year, 10 years from now, the future of America? I'm joined by my colleague, Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike, to the Pirate Money Radio Show.
Great to be here. I saw the topics we're covering today, and I was like, debt, personal debt, corporate debt, government debt, that sounds definitely depressing, but something that everybody's watching and saying, what do we do right now?
You know, God set the system up, and debt's a bad thing, and yet we are all in it, and this nation is founded not with the intention of us all being in debt, but that seems like where society pushes us as rapidly as it can. So the first headline that I saw was from CNBC based on Bank of America research, and I just couldn't believe this one. Our debt at the federal level is increasing $1 trillion every 3 months.
Wow. I can't even conceive $1 trillion every 3 months. I don't think people can either, because I look at that number going from 30. I saw something on the news just the other day, a top economist talking $32 trillion. He can't even keep up with it.
Yeah, no, it's almost $35 trillion. And remember, Mike, when we were on the Economic War Room show, our show on Blaze Television, remember when I told you our debt at the time was $20 trillion, and I said, we'll blink our eyes, and it'll be $30 trillion or higher. That wasn't that long ago. That was the start of COVID, like in the year 2020.
Yeah, I remember even going back earlier than that when you started talking about the debt, back in 2012, 2013, talking about what was going to be in 20. You've been accurate each time. I'm afraid to hear you speak about what that's going to be like next.
Sadly, I've been understating it. I've been telling people how bad it was going to be, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. If you pull up usdebtclock.org, you can see the counter, and it's just racing ahead. $34 trillion and change. It's, well, we're past that. You rounded up to $35 trillion now. Yeah. And then you look at it, it's 102,000 plus, almost 103,000 per citizen. You know, it wasn't that long ago, last June, when I wrote the book Pirate Money. You can go and look at the debt clock chart in there, June 24th of last year, and it was $95,000 per citizen. So every citizen, every man, every woman, every child, every citizen of America has seen their share of the national debt increase by $7,000 in less than a year.
And then you add, I got a couple of kids, you do too. You add college tuition costs on top of that. It gets a bit scary.
It does get scary. And that's what we're facing. And unfortunately, we're facing a $15 trillion increase by the estimates of the White House if President Biden gets his way, gets reelected, and his budgets get put in place. And of course, his budgets have hugely optimistic estimates for how powerful it's going to be. $14.8 trillion added in a two-term presidency. That's frightening.
Is that with or without the college debt that he wants to give away to everybody now?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if that's included in there or not. I know our debt's growing very, very rapidly. How does it impact you? The average person, though, tell me, what is the man on the street? Do they even know that we have this kind of debt?
I think people realize we have the debt, but nobody's, there's that normalcy bias. So I can't do anything about it. Don't know that the politicians are going to do anything about it. And what I hear is, you know, well, Trump spends just as much.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly true. But before we get there, the idea is that nobody's feeling the impact of debt that they know of. It's like the frog in the kettle, isn't it?
Yes.
It's getting, the heat is getting turned up on all of us. I mean, when you see a $95,000 per person debt, you think, that's astronomical. That's impossible. I could never pay that. I mean, imagine a family of five. That's almost $500,000. But it went up by from $95,000 to $102,000, $7,000 per family of five. That's a $35,000 increase in debt just less than a year.
And that doesn't include any maybe extra credit card debt people have taken on or anything personally they've taken
on? Oh, no, that's not personal. That is debt that you owe as a member of the citizen of the United States of America. That's debt that you owe. Now, how will they collect it? I don't know. I mean, there's politicians aren't talking about this, are they?
They're not, but it makes that song Proud to Be American a little bit less proud. I feel a little less pride right now.
Oh, no question about it. And you just brought up, you said that that the news is, well, Trump raised the debt too, and he did. I will tell you, President Trump oversaw massive increases in debt, and it was a terrible thing. It's not anything we should be proud of or excited about. And yet, the national debt has increased twice as fast under Biden as it did under President Trump. That's what the data shows. Straight from the Congressional Budget Office, no less.
Well, it sounds like we need some real solutions here, real money solutions. Are we going to get to that a little bit later on today?
Oh, of course. Pirate Money Radio is here to bring you real money solutions. It's here to talk about the challenges that we face individually and as a nation together, but it's also to come up with suggestions, ideas, strategies, planning. I mean, our show on Blaze is called The Economic War Room, and we really get the brightest minds from around the world to come in and help us figure out solutions to these problems. And Pirate Money Radio is here to bring it down to the personal level so that you can find what you can do to protect your family and yourself from the economic troubles we face.
So this is not a just get out of debt program when we talk to Pirate Money. We're talking about real solutions, practical solutions, and then also awareness to what's going on geopolitically, what the real threats are out there, and maybe how to kind of start to think about how to develop a game plan around this?
Yeah, well, we'll leave the personally get out of debt to Dave Ramsey, which is great. It's necessary and important. But, you know, unfortunately, that ignores the national debt that we face collectively and the implications for the American dollar, for your job, for, you know, this collective debt problem, the public debt, as they call it. That's a real serious problem we're going to have to address. And just to put it in context, we're talking $35 trillion in debt. People say, well, what's $1 trillion? How does that impact me? Well, I looked up all of the credit card debt from every American. It just hit a record high level. If you add it all up, it's a little over $1 trillion, according to ABC News. U.S. American credit card debt hits a record just a little over $1 trillion.
Wow.
So what that means is the federal government, as bad as your personal debt problem might be, or your neighbors or all the neighbors, our collective debt problem at the government level is 35 times as bad as it is at the individual
level. So this is what's bringing that talk of a great reset, that talk of you'll own nothing and be happy, because right now I feel naked and bankrupt.
Yeah, no, the Great Reset, by the way, you know, we had a comment on one of our programs earlier, the Great Reset, that's just a conspiracy theory. And I said, well, if it is, it's Klaus Schwab's from the World Economic Conspiracy Theory, putting the thick German accent, yeah, we will have a great reset. And I wish that was a caricature of his voice, but that's pretty much how it sounds.
Oh, you did a good job. I got the bald head, but you got the voice down.
Yeah, we shall face and address a great reset. You know, he sounds kind of like a James Bond villain. I don't like to make fun of people with their voice, but I tell you, when you look at him and then you look at Dr. Evil from the Mike Myers movies, it's sadly, they look very similar.
Perhaps even purposeful. Maybe it's the magic of Hollywood getting us all used to this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, Telly Savalas played in one of the original Bond movies. He played, I think it was Dr. No. And, you know, so that's where we get the big bald villain with the thick accent. But anyway, we're at Pirate Money Radio. We're talking about the national debt and the problems that we're facing because of it. And there are some good personal solutions, good things we can do to kind of opt out of the national debt economy. And we'll get to that. That really is, believe it or not, has to do with pirate money, gold doubloons and pieces of eight. So we are real solutions for real problems and real economic opportunities. We'll take a break and we'll be right back with more Pirate Money solutions.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
It's another beautiful Saturday, and here we are in America. But there's a warning from the Bible, Proverbs 22:3, and repeated in Proverbs 27:12. The Bible says, "A prudent man sees danger ahead and prepares for it, but the fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." So here at Pirate Money Radio, we're not here just to scare you. We're not trying to say these are the terrible things. You know, there are some bad things to the economy, but we're actually here to help people see the danger ahead and prepare for it and not be foolish and suffer the consequences. So welcome back, Mike.
Great to be here on this Saturday morning, learning about the reality of what's happening in the world today, especially as it relates to debt. Federal debt, and we all know about that personal debt, but this federal debt is something that needs to be addressed. We need a real solution, and we're going to get into some of that later today.
Yeah, but the impact on us all, and you've probably seen it, not only have you seen inflation, but you've seen interest rate hikes. Mm-hmm. So you go to buy a home, and the mortgage rate for a 30-year mortgage was like, when I refinanced, it was 3%. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, you timed it better than me as usual, Kevin. I think I'm at 4.
But 4 sounds awfully good when it's over 7% now. That mortgage rates at 7% are taking away the American dream from a lot of people. The losers are the people that need to borrow money. The winners, of course, are people that have lots of extra cash and are able to share it.
Yeah, yeah. And lots of extra cash seems, for most of Main Street America, doesn't feel like a feeling I think most people have today.
Yeah, no, people are struggling. It really is tight. Here's a bank rate to put together biggest winners and losers from the Fed's interest rate decision. Interest rates have gone from near zero to 4 to 5% in treasury bonds, 7% in mortgages. It's really hard for people to deal with. In fact, this interest rate spike could bankrupt us at the federal level because all of a sudden government was paying 1.3% on average to borrow money, and now they're paying 4 to 5% on average, and the debt's gone up. So we're going to be paying over $1 trillion in interest only on our debt very soon.
But don't we have like really smart government and federal people to look ahead and say, hey, we need to be prepared and we should be thinking long term, not short term?
Well, you know, that was a really good idea about 3 or 4 years ago. We were screaming loudly from the economic war room, hey, federal government, if you can borrow money at 1%, 1.5%, borrow as much as you can, but put it as long out due as mm-hmm. possible. So go to 30, 50, or even 100-year government borrowings. They didn't do it. They borrowed as close to minimize their interest costs to make the 1 year look better. They borrowed at the lowest possible interest rate, which would be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year. They could have been borrowing 30, 50, 100 years where that bill would not come due for quite some time. It's frightening.
Hmm. So that's the magic of big government?
Yep, big government who's worried about what the next quarter looks like so they can get reelected rather than looking long-term. That's the advantage of China, where they look 5 years to 100 years out. But here in America, unfortunately, we only look on what we're going to have to pay next month, and we ignore the impact.
And I saw something where China's buying up all the gold right now.
Yeah, no, China's looking longer term. Unfortunately, we're selling gold, and they're buying gold as a general rule. That's not actually true. A lot of Americans are buying gold. The interest in gold is off the charts, but we'll get to that. Right now, let's talk about interest rates. How does that impact you when you borrow money instead at 7% instead of 3%? Well, it means you're going to have to buy a smaller house than you would have, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your payments go up substantially just from interest alone. Imagine this. Mike, what do you think an average home costs in America?
Yeah, it's around $400,000, I think, right now.
All right, $400,000, and you're paying 7%. That's $28,000 a year on that $400,000 in interest. $28,000 is over $2,000 a month. What if you could have borrowed at 3% like I did?
I like those numbers a lot better. I could have either bought more house or had more money.
Exactly. So this is going to impact you. It's impact across the board. But it's not just interest rates. There's also inflation, right?
Yes. We're all feeling the effect of inflation right now.
So where do you feel it most?
I feel it most, I think, when I go out to eat right now and I buy the hamburgers. But I saw Biden, someone in his administration the other day saying, you know, The economy is doing really well, except for the price of milk, eggs, and flour, or something like that. I'm like, that's not really where I'm feeling
milk,
it right
eggs,
now.
Milk, eggs, flour.
I'm seeing my utility bills go up. I'm seeing gas prices go up. I'm seeing rent. Everything that I'm spending on every day going up.
Yep. No, the costs. And then you get stuck. Your house price looks like it's gone up. And then, of course, the tax man comes
exactly.
along and wants to charge you higher real estate taxes. So.
I was talking to someone the other day who had some nice property, and he said, I can't handle the taxes on it anymore. I just need to sell this. It didn't have a home on it. It's a lot. But he's like, I'm not paying these taxes. So.
Well, the good news, you can always go to the dollar store and get your stuff cheaper, right?
Yes.
Should I say dollar and a quarter store? Because everything's
lucky,
minimum dollar.
If you're lucky, because what's the new price now? Some prices in dollar store I saw were how much?
Dollar Tree is up to $7 for some items. The minimum is a dollar and a quarter. So it should be the dollar and a quarter store.
At least it's not the $100 store yet. That's probably on its way to that.
You know, the funny thing is, though, where people say, dollar, that was a good deal. But when we were kids, it was a five and dime store.
Yeah, I remember. I've almost forgot about the five and dime stores till you bring that up.
And absolutely. You could get penny candy, but it's not penny anymore. It's 50 cents for that little tiny piece of chocolate that you'd get at the convenience store.
Yeah, you know what's kind of interesting, though? When you look at this, Biden was complaining about how the packages are getting smaller out there. There's a reason that's happening. I used to be in the consumer products business, and we would look at what the average person could afford to pay for products. And knew that they only had so much to pay for certain types of food items out there. The issue is not Biden going after the companies saying, hey, you're charging, you shrunk this product down. The issue is managing the budget, the fiscal responsibility, managing inflation, because food manufacturers have to keep a certain amount of margin to operate the plants and the production and everything else out there. They're looking at what people can afford. So they say, we can't afford to raise prices anymore. People can't afford to pay that. Their only option is to take that and say, let's put a little bit less in there.
Shrinkflation is what that's
called. The pricing down as much as we can on this thing. So that's the reality of what's happening. And when I hear Biden getting on the food manufacturers, whatever, about this thing, it's just one more thing where I'm like, I don't think he understands how the process works.
Well, we talk about this a lot on Economic War Room show. And if you want to learn more, you can learn more at economicwarroom.com. We talk about what's known as the Cantillon effect. There was a French economist in the 1750 timeframe named Cantillon, and he warned people that government that prints a lot of money will create inflation, and the people closest to the money creation will be able to protect themselves and maybe even benefit positively from it. But the further you get out into the countryside and away from the big city where the money's been created, the harder it gets. And so that's why the people in New York and Washington may be able to prosper and protect themselves on Wall Street with complex financial instruments and inflation hedges and all these things. But if you get out into Topeka in Kansas, it's a little harder to protect yourself from that coming inflation. Now, he warned, he said, if you don't stop this, it will lead to social unrest. And of course, 30 years later, they had the French Revolution. And Marie Antoinette is famous for having said, you know, the peasants have no bread. And she said, well, let them eat cake.
Yeah,
right?
That didn't end well.
No, it didn't. But not long ago, we heard the CEO of Kellogg's say, hey, you know, people can't afford to eat meat at night for dinner. And he said, well, that's okay. We have very affordable cereal. So let them eat cereal. And even that, the box has gotten smaller.
It does. And I almost felt bad for that guy because, you know, in the consumer products business, you're always thinking about how do you sell more of this or that? But it certainly had the wrong tone and the wrong idea and hit people wrong. And I'm looking at what it costs for a box of cereal today. And it's another thing. It's like, I can't believe this. So.
Yeah. No, it came across a little Marie Antoinette style. Mm-hmm. You know, so but going back to the Dollar Tree, they said in their conference call, this year across 3,000 stores, we expect to expand our multi-price assortment by over 300 items at price points ranging from $1.50 to $7. That's the company CEO who said that in his March 13th call. Well, already—
So it's a $1.50 store now.
Well, it's a dollar and a quarter is their minimum.
All right.
But now they're up to $7. And you know who they're finding as their shoppers?
No.
Their primary shoppers are people— earning north of $125,000.
Interesting.
So that means even people with a good salary and good income are the ones going into the dollar store, which unfortunately is being priced out for people earning substantially less than that. So this really is a societal risk that we're having this much inflation as a result of all this excessive debt.
It is. It's and again, it's you know, we need solutions. We need real money solutions, and that's part of what we do at the Economic War Room. We help people understand what's going on geopolitically, economically, and then to hopefully get with a financial advisor that helps them with the game plan that's right for them. But we work on some bigger solutions as well.
Yeah, no, we're facing problems, and it is going to hurt us individually and collectively. It's a societal risk. Again, it's Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12. We see danger coming. When you get inflation this high, and it has come down though, it's not. But the administration keeps saying inflation has come down. Let's correct that. Inflation's not going up as fast as it was going up.
Yes.
But have you seen prices
government
come
accounting.
Down?
Government accounting. I've not seen prices go down. No.
Yeah. So. No. So we go get a hamburger. It costs us $4 or $5 10 years ago. It might have cost us $6 5 years ago. It costs us what now? What's the last you paid for your hamburger?
Well, it depends. If you're fast food, I'm up to $8 to $10. But any kind of sit down restaurant, it seems like I'm $15 to $17 now
for a hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're facing a massive debt problem. The impact personal at the personal level. So
the housing side, very scary. I was just looking at that, and I used to be in that industry. But I'm seeing what used to be starter homes at $300,000, now it's $700,000, $800,000. Now every market's a little bit different, but there's no way that's sustainable.
Yeah, and people are expecting or hoping that it may come down, but there's no evidence it's coming down. In fact, with the way that the debt is increasing, I'm sorry to tell you, we've passed the point of no return. Do you know what that is, the point of no return?
It sounds like there's no way out.
Yeah, well, the point of no return is when, this is Daily Signal, Daily Torch published, it said that if you eliminated every single federal department agency and fired every federal employee, including the military, you still would not be able to balance the budget. Now, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be in America without military or some of those basic things in place.
And yet, we have to borrow money to maintain them because we have so much mandatory spending. And that's, you know, mandatory spending is the things, the promises that the previous Congress has made so that they would help, you know, will provide for Medicare, Social Security, and so forth. Well, that mandatory spending is now greater than our tax returns.
Wow.
So what we're going to do is we're going to dive deeper into the government debt and how we can protect ourselves as individuals and for the future right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
So how do you navigate these treacherous pirate waters where we have debt as a threat and the national debt is over $34 trillion, approaching $35 trillion today? And here we've got hotshot Wharton professor sees $34 trillion debt triggering a 2025 meltdown as mortgage rates spike above 7%. It could derail the next administration. You know, that was just March 3rd when that came out on Yahoo News. Bottom line is a Wharton professor. I mean, we're not talking about a right-wing Trump supporter warning about the rapid increase in debt. Now, we've seen the debt increase twice as fast in the Trump or Biden administrations as it did in the Trump administration. And here we've got a Wharton professor warning that that's going to trigger potentially a financial meltdown. Does that sound like trouble coming?
It sounds like trouble, but I hear legislators. In fact, we were testifying at a committee session, and I know a legislator was there that said, I don't like listening to these economists. Who says that debt is going to be a problem? Well, here's another example. This is a Wharton professor, pretty smart guy. Kevin Freeman was saying it at the hearing. Who's right, Kevin?
Well, I'll tell you, the Wharton professor is right. He says the lack of concern by the media and politicians about the U.S. federal debt is shocking, he said in a March 3rd post on social media platform X. We can probably live with current levels, but not with its projected increases over the next 20 or 30 years. We need to be talking about this. You know how much debt he's talking about over the next 20 to 30 years?
I don't even know if I want to know that. Will I be able to sleep tonight?
Yeah, maybe not. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that over the next 30 years, we will add more than $100 trillion, $110 trillion, in fact, over 30 years, according to the Office of Management and Budget. $44 trillion.
Those numbers aren't real because they're not sustainable. So we're back at that point of no return.
Yeah, well, that's Jerome Powell says it's unsustainable. The Congressional Budget Office, the Office of Management Budget, all of these, by the way, are estimating the risk that we're facing based on really optimistic assumptions, like 4% annual growth, like no recessions, no, you know, things that we've never seen in the history of our country. And as the economic conditions get worse, the risks get greater. So bottom line is, a prudent person sees danger coming and prepares for it, but a fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Once again, the Bible, written in the Proverbs, in the Old Testament, you know, thousands of years ago, is speaking to us directly today. We've got to prepare for these problems.
Can we get a Bible class to these federal bureaucrats just to kind of get them up to speed on this
stuff? Yeah, I don't know that they would allow you to do that, but what a good idea. All right, so we're facing a lot of economic problems, and we've got to deal with it at our personal life. And by the way, money is not the most important thing. We talk about money. It's Pirate Money Radio. You know, people call me all the time. My whole career has dealt with money. But the bottom line is money's a tool. It's something God's given us to do good things with. Now, when we borrow money, we become slaves to the lender, and that's a problem. You know, if China is loaning America money and we become slave to China, that's not a good idea. But at a personal level, there are really only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here on Pirate Money Radio, we work to bring solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Thankfully, Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company with coverage on most platforms, including Apple, Android, and several others, Patriot Mobile supports the Pirate Money Radio program and others that support Judeo-Christian values. More information about both the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. So we're facing problems. We got to deal with it at the individual level. We can weaponize our money, give, spend, invest it in ways that align with God's word. We've got to do the kind of things that will protect us from the serious problems. Like one of them is the curse of debt.
Yes.
And Deuteronomy 28, pretty clear. It says that if you're a nation under blessing, that you will lend to other nations and not borrow. If you're a nation under a curse, you borrow from every nation. And unfortunately, Mike, I think that it appears that our nation in many ways is a Deuteronomy 28 nation under a curse.
Yes, it does. And it's not that you haven't warned about this before. And Kevin, I don't know if our audience knows about your background at all. And I know you don't give specific financial advice, but you know, you've been right on all these topics over the last 10, 15 years on the economic war room and what we talked about. Just give the 30-second overview of what you've done on the economic side.
Yeah, so my background is investing. My father was a stockbroker. I learned investing at a very young age. I've tried to save and invest in the future my whole career. I believed in America, student of the Constitution, loved helping people invest wisely. And one of the things that's gotten harder and harder is as we've gotten wise people saving and investing, giving, spending, investing to align with their values, the government seems to be going against that. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be promoting a lot of things like ESG, which is environment, social, governance, which is really a left-leaning grab bag of bad ideas that the government's spending our money on. So at the individual level, we need to make sure that our money's going towards good things. So I noticed in 2008, I noticed a financial crisis coming. It was coming because of financial attacks from outside of America coming in on us. And that's what caused the 2008 financial collapse. And then we've noticed other threats like inflation. We talked about inflation before it even showed up. During the yep. Trump administration, I say, hey, look, there's going to be a change coming and we're going to see massive inflation. So we're facing all of those threats today. Massive inflation, a stock market crash, bonds wiped out, bank failures. I think the first trigger event, though, may be, and this is something all our listeners can pay attention to, when you hear the bell being rung, it will sound like this. We had a treasury auction, and we tried to find buyers for our treasury bonds, and no one showed up. It was the first worst failed bond auction in decades. When you hear that...
And then what happens?
Well, that's a trigger that the federal government's not able to borrow money, which means we're going to have a debt crisis, and it could be any of those things. It could be a stock market crash, bonds wiped out, bank failures, massive inflation. That would be the bell being rung. That is a curse.
And if happening. I can add here, though, but we don't come at this from a spirit of fear, right? It's about hope and it's about solutions, but we need to be aware of what's coming on the horizon.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. And when we say be aware, you can look at Jerome Powell. Jerome Powell is the current chairman of the Federal Reserve, and he was asked in Congress, hey, do you think our debt path is sustainable? He said, he almost laughed and said, absolutely, it's not sustainable. We can't continue to increase debt at this pace. And as I mentioned, even President Biden's Office of Management and Budget and the Congressional Budget Office and all leading economists have said that there's not any possibility that we can maintain this level of debt for any time in the future. And unfortunately, there is not a federal solution that's being put forth that can solve that problem.
So, and the good news is?
Well, the good news is that there are solutions. We can look at alternatives such as pirate money, okay, which we'll get into in a bit. But before we go there, we need to understand that other nations see us as vulnerable. You've heard of the BRICS countries.
Yes, yes. And it's growing, by the way, from what I hear, right? And they have one goal, to de-dollarize America.
Yeah, so this began with Vladimir Putin. This did not begin at Goldman Sachs, as much as they would like to try and claim that they created this whole new investing idea. I mean, some people have heard of FANG stocks, which was Facebook, Apple, and Netflix and Google, all that. This is not an investment idea. The BRICS nations are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And then they added Saudi Arabia, and they've added a whole host of... What was the number we saw recently?
I don't know.
30.
Was it that many?
30 countries have sought to join the BRICS countries. And I'll tell you, they are a economic powerhouse, maybe not as powerful as the United States and Europe yet, but when you put them all together, those 30 nations, they could swing an economic wrecking ball. This is from Business Insider. BRICS countries could swing an economic wrecking ball at the dollar, a former White House economist says. The bloc has growing power and influence in global trade as it adds new members. The U.S. dollar could soon be in the same position as the British pound was in the 1800s. So this is a serious threat. When the dollar goes down, it's going to have personal implications. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt our communities. It's going to hurt our nation as a whole. And the BRICS nations have chosen together to work together to take the dollar down, according to former White House economist Joe Sullivan.
Now, we know those countries don't necessarily all work well together, so we're not sure that they're going to be successful at this. But what it does look like is that our Federal Reserve currency is being threatened, our status is with that, right? We know if that gets hit, it's a pretty significant hit to the economy. It might not be that we're the world's reserve currency, but we might be one of the world's reserve currencies. Is that kind of what you see happening?
Yeah, well, the intention from Putin was to end the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, which means that other nations wouldn't buy dollars when they had excess reserves. That's where the term comes from. Reserve currency means when you got extra money, where are you going to put it? They had been putting it into U.S. dollars, and that's been true for 50 years. Saudi Arabia would get extra money because oil prices would go up, and they'd sell a lot of oil, and they'd take that money and put it in U.S. Treasury bonds. Well, the intention now is to no longer do that, to put it in gold or to put it in their own currencies. So that's why it's a concern. Now, I agree, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa don't agree on a whole lot of things, but Putin has gone to them very strategically and said, you know, Germany and Japan were enemies of America in the 1940s, and now they're allies. Mm-hmm. And Russia and China were allies of America in the 1940s, and now they're enemies. Things change. So, India, are you sure you want to put all your money into dollars? That's a great risk. So,
Okay, I'm looking forward to the next segment. We start getting into solutions.
Yeah, no, we do have solutions, but it's important that we understand that the world is looking at this. The world, that's why other nations are building up their gold reserves rapidly. And mm-hmm. Americans are beginning to notice and pay attention too. That's why we've seen people going running to Costco. They sold right. out all of these little tiny bars of gold for over $2,000 a piece. They sold $100 million worth of those bars in just a couple of hours.
Yeah, online in 2 hours.
Yeah. Coming up in the next segment, we will answer a few listener questions. One of them, I'm not rich enough to buy stocks. Why should I care about the stock market? Ask your question at afr@piratemoneyradio.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
This is Pirate Money Radio, where we're going beyond just the headlines. What do we see? The threat to the economy. People are scared. They don't know what to do. They don't know how this impacts them. And so we're trying to bring it down in a way that everyday Americans can understand what the headlines mean and how they can respond. Just based on Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12, we see danger coming. So how do we prepare for it?
Yeah, well, a couple questions from our audience, Kevin. One is, I'm not rich enough to buy stocks, so why should I care about the stock market? That's from Ben P. in Dallas, Texas here.
Yeah, well, that's a fair question. What most people don't realize is they probably own shares of stock regardless in one form or another. If you work at a company and that company has a 401k profit-sharing pension plan, you probably own some stocks through that. If not, the company itself depends on the capital markets being able to raise money in the markets and sell stock. Bottom line is our economy is built on that. Ever since Wall Street was formed under a buttonwood tree in New York, right about the time of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, right in that time, people have been buying and selling stocks, and America's built on that free market capability. So if you work for a private company, somebody owns shares of stock in that company. That's just the way it works here in America. And we as Americans are dependent. So if you remember the financial crisis in 2008, what caused that? That was a collapse in Lehman Brothers stock yeah. and caused banks to fail. And then all of a sudden it's created a cascading effect. So Ben, even if you don't own shares of stock, you are benefiting from the free market capitalism of America. And if the stock market collapses, you're going to be harmed by it.
You know, Kevin, you've talked about how to be prepared for multiple scenarios in your book, Game Plan. It was written back in 2014.
Yeah, it's 10 years.
Still right very now. Relevant today. And there's two scenarios that this economy could go into. It looks like you got the deflationary side and you got the inflationary side. For the first time, I saw an article the other day talking about deflation. What's your read on this, or you know, what do the different scenarios look like in that case?
Well, the worst of all is stagflation, where you have economic depression-like conditions and massive inflation at the same time. One side of that would be pure inflation, where you know Zimbabwe, I think they were printing $100 Zimbabwe notes in 1995 that were worth about 20 U.S. They had so much inflation that 13 years later, they were producing $100 trillion notes that weren't worth
you
a penny.
You gave me one of those. I was excited for just a second.
They've got collectible value now. You look it up, you might get $100 for one of those because they're
rare
now.
I'm back to enthusiastic.
Yeah. But bottom line, that would be an inflation. That's what Weimar Germany suffered. That's what we're feeling inflation now. The other side of it's depression, which also in the 1930s coincided with deflation. Prices went down, but your income went down faster than prices. Inflation's mm-hmm. where prices go up and they go up faster than your earnings. And deflation or depression is where prices go down, but your earnings go down faster.
Yeah, and this article was referring to deflation would be bad, obviously. So that's why inflation is good. So I guess there's the glass is always half full, right?
Yeah, well, you know what we could solve and provide price stability? This is not coming from me either. I was shocked to see this out of the Philadelphia Federal Reserve. There's a new study that came out in February that said a gold standard could stabilize money. Price level determination under the gold standard. It said there might be a very short period of deflation, but over time, if we got back to limited money supply, growing at about the same pace as the economy, which is what the gold supply can do, bottom line is it would provide price stability. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be awesome. And I want to jump in here because we're so different than other shows out there. We're not here selling gold. We're talking about a solution and an idea, right?
Yeah, no, you can buy gold 1,000 different places. And by the way, you got to be very careful that there's not some massive markup. Find a trusted gold dealer or whatever. We're not in right. the gold selling business. But I can tell you, and I'm not even giving investment advice. What we are doing, however, is we're commenting on the Federal Reserve paper that came out mm-hmm. and the fact that central banks around the world are buying gold at record levels. What do they know that we Americans don't?
Yeah. Yeah. When I see that, China is the biggest buyer and then followed by Russia and then India after that, those three countries are buying in a very, very aggressive way. It makes me think they know something that maybe some of us don't.
Yeah, not just the Chinese, Russians, and so forth. The National Bank of Poland bought 130 tons of gold last year.
Wow.
12% of its international reserves. Now, again, we talk about the dollar being the reserve currency of the world, and it's held that status really since the end of World War II. But now other nations are saying, I'm not necessarily going to hold as many dollars because I'm worried about this big national debt we've mm-hmm. been talking about all program. I'm going to start holding a little more gold. And that's what the public's saying also. That's what happened. At Costco, in just a few hours, they bought $100 million. I've got some of these little gold, 1 ounce gold bars, $2,200+. Gold's at a record high price level right now.
And that's good to have some of that on hand, I guess, for that rainy day. But what do I do with that little $2,200 bar? You know, I lose business cards all the time. I'm a little worried that my little bar is going to be, where did I put that thing?
I can't imagine somebody walking into a Baskin Robbins and buying an ice cream cone with a little tiny bar of gold and trying to just shave off just a little bit of gold flex to pay for my, $8 scoop ice cream now, whatever it's up to.
Well, that kind of leads us to pirate money, the transactional part of it. Do you want to talk a few minutes about that?
Well, Mike, you've been leading the charge for the Economic War Room on going state by state. I wrote the book, Pirate Money, and we had, a couple of dozen legislators from around the country came to Liberty Hawk Ranch and sat down and said, hey, is it really true that under the Constitution we can offer a state-based transactional form of gold and silver that would meet the constitutional provisions of money? And the answer is yes. And how does that work, Mike?
Well, the beautiful part, no matter where I go, I pull out my card today that allows this technology to happen, and I can spend gold anywhere I spend a MasterCard. And while that sounds hard to believe, as soon as I'm talking with a waitress, or I was getting my eyes checked the other day with the nurse there, and she's like, give me more information on this. How can I make it happen? But basically, you take part of what you make, put it in a bullion depository. There's one here in Texas. Texas is the first state to establish one of these. There's other states looking at doing something like this. And then attaching a debit card. And with that debit card, I can spend it anywhere I spend MasterCard, and it will check within 200 milliseconds to make sure I've got the gold in the vault, convert that to dollars, and pay that retailer.
Now, you can do that on a commercial basis, and there's several that offer that. I don't know which ones have U.S. based. The one you and I share that we've used most often is Glint, mm-hmm. but there are others developing that technology, or they have it at various stages, various levels. And we are not trying to sell you on any specific goal, but we are strongly urging states to look at Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution, which says that a state may make nothing other than gold and silver coin tender within that state for payment of debts. Now, think about this. When that was written, a gold coin was known as a gold doubloon. A silver coin was known as a Spanish milled dollar, also known as a piece of eight. And whenever I hear the term gold doubloons and Spanish milled dollars or pieces of eight, I think of pirates.
Pirate money, yes.
So we've been about this now for a little over a year, educating states on the right that they have to allow their citizens to opt out of fiat money, which fiat means unbacked paper currency money, and get out of the debt-based economy and get into a real economy based on gold and silver. So we've got how many states that are looking at this?
There's about 25 that we've been actively engaged with that are either looking at legislation, have written legislation, have gotten to committees, have gotten to floor votes. I think we got a shot at one or two of those passing this year, more next year as we're seeding these ideas.
So you hope you're living in one of those 25 states. If you want to find out which states, because that'll be the question we get most asked. We got one from a listener in Tennessee, I think, that asked. But
yes, I saw that. Lori B., if I live in Tennessee, how can I access the Texas Depository?
Well, the good news is Texas Depository is available for citizens of any state. But the bad news is it is not transactional yet.
Yes.
But we're pushing for that. And you can learn more at transactionalgold.com. You can actually click there and see what state you're in and if they've begun legislation, whether it's Mississippi or Kansas or New Hampshire or West Virginia or Texas or Alabama or Alaska or Arkansas. There's like 25 states that are looking very intently at the idea of giving their citizens an opt-out of a debt-based economy. So we said we'd have solutions. How do you protect yourself? Well, you can learn all about this at piratemoneybook.com, where you can get a copy of the book Pirate Money if you want to learn more. But also, you can go for free to transactionalgold.com and read about what the state progress is. Bottom line is, if we give American citizens the opportunity to no longer hold their wealth in a declining dollar that's under attack by the BRICS nations, that's losing its reserve currency status slowly and then maybe rapidly at some point, they can move out of a debt-based economy and move into a real economy without all that debt. That is an option. And we're not suggesting that we're replacing the Federal Reserve. We're suggesting that people should have an option with their money. We think of money as dirty green pieces of paper with George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or Andrew Jackson's picture on it. The reality of it is that we can have a money-based system. Now, we're going to talk more and more about this in coming future programs on Pirate Money Radio. If you have questions about this, you can email afr@piratemoneyradio.com and we'll do our best to answer your questions. Bottom line, transactional gold, optional at the state level, could be your solution for the massive and coming debt problems that we face here in America. Join us again next week for Pirate Money Radio.